You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now I have on the phone with me Labour leader Andrew Little. Kia ora, Andrew. How are you doing? So we thought our last week with you was last week, but you're calling us from your holiday this week, and you've just done the Otago Rail Trail. How was it?
That's right. Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I did it with my 15-year-old son. We took 5 days to do it. It was easier than we expected. We thought we could have actually done it in a shorter time, but we had a fantastic time on it, and yeah, really recommend it to anybody. It's suitable for all ages.
Awesome. Cool. So the year on New Zealand politics, what do you think were some of the major issues in politics this year?
Oh, I think clearly housing affordability and homelessness are two aspects of the housing equation that I think have been huge issues for New Zealand, and they've gone completely unanswered really by this government. I think and just the growing sense of inequality, which is expressed not just in the housing thing too, but just a whole chunk of people whose wages aren't keeping pace with the cost of living, which explains homelessness as well as other kind of consequences of poverty as well. So, yeah, I just think there's a growing sense that in spite of a government that talks about a growing economy and rising wages, there's a whole heap of people who are not feeling it and are not sharing in it, and are now much more conscious that maybe this kind of trickle-down stuff, you know, make sure we give tax cuts to the wealthy, that doesn't work anymore, and we have to look for something different.
Right, so you think that those are the major missed opportunities that the government did this year?
Yeah, I'd say there's long-term stuff too. I mean, we don't seem to be that good at debating publicly kind of the long-term stuff. We have a political cycle that seems very much focused on the short-term. I mean, it's why we as a party, we spent the last 2 years doing our Future of Work Commission, which is looking out 20, 30, 40 years at, you know, the impact of technology, what's happening with work practices, how people earn a living. But the government's not doing any work on any of that stuff, and that's coming at us at a fast rate of knots. Certainly next year I'm going to be spending a lot of time talking about what that future looks like, what we need to be doing now, you know, and having an education system, for example, that's fit for purpose, and, you know, where young people aren't having to go into a huge amount of debt to get qualifications to do jobs that are changing so rapidly. So it's things like that I think are going to be, ought to be at the heart of a lot of the debate we have about the future and future wealth creation for the country.
So, but even if the current government is favouring this kind of, I suppose a short-term approach, they've still been polling pretty well all throughout this year, and much higher than how Labour is polling. Are you hoping that's going to change a bit next year?
Yeah, well, I mean, as you campaign for election, you've got to build your support, build your numbers, and I think that's absolutely clear. I think I've had 2 years since I've become leader, which is dealing with some of the internal issues, just getting the party organisation sorted, getting the caucus functioning, focused, working well together, trusting each other. That's all sort of come together. We've done the work on the big kind of policy stuff that we want to be talking about next year. And the areas that are our strength and that are also important to New Zealand, which is why we've talked about housing, it's why we're making an issue about education. You know, we see those two international tests recently that show us actually getting worse in terms of our educational performance. And things like health, you know, what's happening in the health sector, elderly people not being able to get the treatment they need. So all those sorts of things we've made a focus on. We've put some good ideas together, and next year's task is now to take that out to the country, talk about that stuff and talk about the long-term stuff as well. I'll be doing that pretty much from the beginning of the year. I have my State of the Nation speech on the 29th of January, and then followed by about a 2 month long kind of just getting around towns and cities talking about what we stand for and what we want to do for New Zealand.
And so do you feel like the Labour and Greens partnership is going to strengthen the left in next year's election, or are you worried that there are perhaps some compromises Labour will have to make?
I mean, the nature of MMP is that no party, neither of the big parties gets to govern on their own. You do have to have support partners or coalition partners. And I think the electorate, you know, in this day and age, New Zealanders with MMP 20 years old, expect political parties to give a clear signal about who they would partner up with. We've done that with the Greens. Now, naturally, for both Greens and Labour, yeah, we've got to be able to present a you know, a package to New Zealand that says we can provide and form strong state government, and with a set of ideas that answers today's problems, and also provides, you know, some long-term thinking about, you know, the direction that we as a country need to go in if we're going to maintain our standards of living and preserve the planet and make sure that this is a fantastic country for people to live in and come to in 20, 30, 40, 50 years' time.
And so also, do you think the resignation of John Key and the recently appointed Prime Minister, Bill English, will significantly change the political landscape going into 2017?
It'll certainly change the dynamic. There's no question. I mean, John Key was certainly seemed to be popular, very well regarded as very popular, although I think a couple of things told me that things were going in the other direction, the Mount Roskill by-election, the local government elections. But I think with you know, he certainly had a very strong personality that a lot of the media, a lot of people seem to respond well to. I mean, one of the frustrations I certainly had in the couple of months leading up to that is that we just, no matter what we said, we couldn't be heard. We could say outrageous things, and people who did say outrageous things also got coverage, but if you wanted to have a genuine debate about genuine issues, we found it hard to kind of get heard. And yet, it didn't matter what John King said, he was often, you know, reported uncritically and just accepted regardless. So I think that will change, and so it does open it up. But I don't underestimate the task ahead of me and Labor to win the confidence of enough New Zealanders to say, you know, we can put together something that is viable, that will work and is good for the long-term interests of all New Zealanders.
Right, so you think perhaps the departure of Teflon John, as he's often referred to, might have some positive impacts for Labor?
I don't want to overstate it because I don't, you know, again, I don't want to underestimate the task ahead of me, and I don't take anything for granted. I've got, you know, and Labor's got, we've got work to do. But at the very least, it will change the dynamic about how public debate gets run, about, you know, what reporters actually start to report, and I'm almost certain it will give us opportunities to be heard that, you know, frankly, we've struggled to get in the last few months.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.